with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Once again, everyone, welcome. Nice to have you with us. Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Kind of a gray day. It's not terribly gloomy. It looks like the sun keeps trying to pop through and just can't quite do it. We have had some showers, however, in our listening area. Not everywhere, but in some places over the last hour or so. That apparently is not only going to continue, but a much better chance of showers and maybe thunderstorms later on today. And tomorrow, too, by the way. Yeah. Just what we need. More of that, huh? It's been a very unusual summer. Mostly wet. And if it seems like every day we've had a chance of showers or thunderstorms in the forecast, that's pretty much true. Now, yesterday was an exception. It was a zero chance of rain yesterday. But now we're right back into the pattern here. Well, we survive, right? We press on. A little bit later on the program today, we're scheduled to chat with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Newpower. We're kind of gearing up for the start of a new school year now. Students hate to hear that, but we're getting there, huh? Yeah, last week we talked with Dr. William Barry, the new president of Slippery Rock University. Now, Dr. Newpower, president of Butler County Community College. By the way, next week we'll be chatting with Dr. Brian White, who's the superintendent in the Butler Area School District, as public schools and parochial schools and private schools get ready to start up as well. Yeah, school bells be ringing just around the corner. Open talk to begin the program today. Our phone number is 283-2525. Open talk, 283-2525. Had a listener who called this morning, a couple of hours ago, and said, is it a coincidence or what that the king of rock and roll and the queen of soul both died on the same date? Yeah. In case you missed it, Aretha Franklin, known as the queen of soul, died early this morning in Detroit, Michigan. And today's the anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. And once again, fans will be gathering at Graceland in Memphis to mark the anniversary of his death. Do you realize how long ago it was that Elvis died? Hang on. 41 years ago today. 41 years ago today. He died. He was only 42 years old, which means he would have been, what, 83 if he were still alive today. Wow. You don't picture Elvis as 83. Well, that's the case with any famous person who has died young. You know, we still picture Elvis at late 30s, early 40s. John F. Kennedy, still picture him at in his 40s when he was killed. Yeah. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. The king of rock and the queen of soul. Yeah. By the way, looking at the almanac today, today would have been the birthday of the late Fess Parker. Anybody remember Fess Parker? Pat Parker, no relation. Our engineer for the program is on the other side of the glass, and he's shaking his head when I say, anybody remember Fess Parker? Baby boomers will remember Fess Parker for a couple of reasons, actually. Yeah, younger people might remember him as Daniel Boone in the TV series. Daniel Boone. But earlier than that, he played Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett in a series of Walt Disney films. I don't know how many there were. At least three that I can remember. I was pretty young then. I wasn't counting them. But I had a coonskin cap just like countless of other baby boomers in the Davy Crockett days. I may even have had a Davy Crockett lunch pail. I don't know. They were pretty popular, too, back in the day. Fess Parker, were he still alive, would be 94 today. Actually, he lived a pretty long life. He died in 2010, at the age of 85. Fess Parker. All righty, open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. If you see the bombers flying overhead a little bit later this afternoon, not to worry. Did you hear yesterday when we were chatting with Ike Kelly here on It's Your Turn? The World War II era warplanes are coming back to the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, and the last report they were scheduled to come in sometime early this afternoon between 1 and 2 o'clock. I haven't had any update on that. Might be affected by the weather, maybe not. They can fly in the rain, you know. B-17, B-24, and a B-25 all scheduled. I got to get down to see them this time around. This is the first time they've ever been here over a weekend. They're coming in today. They'll be here through Sunday. And sometimes it's a little tough to get out, you know, on a weekday. But weekend, Saturday and Sunday, good chance. Good chance. I see that another glass plant in the area is closing. Boy, Western Pennsylvania used to be a hub of glass making. We had glass plants all over the place. There was a big one in Parker, the community where I grew up, spent my childhood years. And there was one in Knox, and there was one in Clarion, and there was one in Marionville, and there was one in Glenshaw, just north of Pittsburgh. Used to be when you drove to Pittsburgh from our area, you had to go down Route 8 before the Parkway North was built, and you would drive right through Glenshaw Glass. The latest to close, and one of the last remaining ones, is in Brackenridge, where it will be shutting down within the next few days. They made windshields, or still make them for a while at least, for vehicles, for cars. That's shutting down. Don't see a whole lot of glass anymore, do you? At least in terms of foodstuffs. Used to be everybody got their milk in a glass bottle. Then the paper cartons became popular. And they're mostly gone now, too. Everybody uses the plastic jugs, right? So you get your milk in the plastic jugs. Just make sure you recycle them because, boy, we got enough plastic floating around here in the oceans and in landfills and everywhere else. And those plastic milk jugs are easily recyclable. So if that's how you get your milk, make sure and recycle them. Other things in the news. The release of the grand jury report, long investigation, several-year investigation into child abuse among clergy in the Catholic Church. Pretty horrifying to read about earlier this week. Grand jury report was released on Tuesday. Yeah, pretty horrifying to read about. Hard to read about. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk on the program today, 283-2525, the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Did you hear about the little girl who ordered up toys over the internet using one of her parents' iPad? Yeah, she was 6 years old, by the way. Six. Six. And she ordered up, let me get the story here. This was out in Utah. 6-year-old girl, and it went viral online. Image of her standing in front of a giant pile of Amazon boxes with a big grin on her face. She ordered $300 worth of toys using her mom's laptop. Her parents eventually revealed that they had let her order a Barbie doll as a birthday present on the website, and days later she asked if she could check the status of her order, and her mom let her, and that's when she went crazy ordering the toys. $300 worth. All of the items were returned, by the way. And I guess everybody got a laugh out of that. Maybe a little shake of the head. 6 years old. I thought there were some safeguards against that. Huh? Her parents must have had one of those automatic orders, you know, and you can get that on some of those. Actually, most of those online websites where you can order stuff, whether you're getting them from Amazon or somebody else, they can save your credit card information, and if you log on again, all you have to do is press the button, say yes, and you don't have to go through the rigmarole of logging everything, which for a six-year-old would be a little bit difficult to do. But if she knew that all you had to do is press confirm order, she did it. What a world we live in, huh? What a world. Oh, by the way, there was a great picture. How is this in the last Sunday's Pittsburgh Post-Gazette of a bocce tournament in the Strip District down in Pittsburgh. Bocce. I'd never even heard of the game until a good friend of mine, the late Dominic Bonifeste, introduced me to bocce. And I'm sure some of you will remember Dom. He was probably the most famous bocce player in the Butler area. He spearheaded the construction of bocce pits in parks. He played all the time. In fact, the Butler Township Commissioners named the small street on which he lived Bocce Drive in honor of Dom. Dom passed away several years ago. Yeah, he was quite the bocce player. Open talk at 283-2525 here on It's Your Turn today. 283-2525. We'll take a quick break and be back with more on the Thursday edition. Wow, Thursday edition of It's Your Turn already. Wow. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And they would ask you, if you could, to continue helping to fill up the food bank with fresh produce. If you have extra produce out of your garden, and this is the time of the year now, we hit mid-August when, you know, all of a sudden you got tomatoes coming out of your eyeballs, right? And if you've enjoyed yours and given to the neighbors and to relatives and you still have some left over, think about donating tomatoes or any of your excess garden produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Cupboard. They make it very easy to do. They have a collection every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. until noon at St. Michael the Archangel Parish Hall, which is right behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue in Butler. You can stop by, drop off your stuff, and it'll be in the food bank first thing on Monday morning. This has been a very successful program over the years. It's going strong again this year. So think about it. It's a good way to help out. And, you know, sometimes if you can't get rid of all those excess tomatoes or peppers, they just go bad. Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Great thought, isn't it? Yeah. Society of St. Vincent de Paul. It's open talk on the program today. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. You hear about a petition that's started to remove the name of Cardinal Wuerl from Cardinal Wuerl North Catholic High School in the wake of the release of the grand jury report earlier this week. Wuerl, who was formerly a bishop of Pittsburgh, not mentioned as one of the perpetrator clergy, but some think that because Perpetrators were reassigned to different parishes under his watch that his name should be removed from the school. And they've started a petition now. Last I saw, there were over 2,000 names. Yeah. Is that fair? Is that right? Is that good? What do you think? Worrell, of course, moved on from Pittsburgh, became the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., and then was later named a cardinal. He's a pretty close associate of Pope Francis. He kind of chauffeured him around when Pope was here in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. We'll take a break. Be back with more right after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
It's never been more important to stay in touch with the events and issues that shape our world. And for more than 25 years, Radio Pennsylvania has been the Commonwealth source for stories and newsmakers impacting your life.
We're taking precautions to prepare for the worst that this storm can deliver.
And I believe that we need an armed, highly trained security officer in every school.
We should not be using mental illness as a scapegoat for things like mass shootings and violence.
Covering your state capital and all corners of the Commonwealth, Radio PA's team of award-winning journalists is on constant watch as your eyes and ears on the front lines of the major events of our time. Honored for broadcasting and journalistic excellence by
the Associated Press, the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, the National Association of State Radio Networks, the National Headliner Awards, and many others.
Eight-time winner of the Joe Snyder Award for Outstanding News Service, the top news honor bestowed by the Associated Press in Pennsylvania. The Radio Pennsylvania Network, bringing you closer to Harrisburg and all of your Keystone State.
Coming up on the It's Your Turn program tomorrow, we have several guests. We'll be chatting about tariffs with David Pietruzza. We first met and talked with David some years ago, at least a couple of years ago. He's a historian, and the discussion at that time was on Harry Truman's improbable victory in the presidential race of 1948. Remember, that's the race where Thomas Dewey was the big favorite and thought to have won. Chicago Tribune infamously published their front page in bold letters, Dewey defeats Truman, and of course it ended up the other way around. Well, David Pietruzza has done some research and written several papers on tariffs and the history of tariffs, and I thought it would be interesting to pick his brain, because tariffs are in the news these days. You know, President Trump has implemented tariffs on a number of countries, European Union, Canada, probably most controversial right now. And some other places, too, China, trade war is starting. So what about tariffs? Do they work? We'll talk about it with David Pietruzza on tomorrow's program. Also tomorrow, State Representative Brian Ellis will be joining us. And we'll be talking with Steve Monteleone from the It's About the Warrior Foundation. So those will be our guests on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk right now at 283-2525. How about the employees at the Butler County Prison being sickened by what appears to be almost certainly K2, synthetic marijuana? Now, when I first heard about this, first of all, I didn't know there was such a thing as synthetic marijuana. And I didn't realize that it's much more dangerous than ordinary marijuana, which under most circumstances is not going to make you sick. Make you high, perhaps, but not sick. But this K2 stuff is very serious, even deadly. And there have been prisoners, by hook or by crook, sneaking this stuff into jails. Now, it happened at the Butler County Prison a couple of days ago on Tuesday. But as the warden, Joe DeMore, pointed out, this is happening at more and more prisons around the country. Several of them here in western Pennsylvania just in recent months. Allegheny County, and of course last week at the State Correctional Institution at Mercer. So how are they smuggling this stuff in? Visitors, when they come in, they're searched. They have to go through a pretty rigorous search process. Some think that it's coming in the mail. They're going to get mailed to them. Butler County Prison may be implementing some new restrictions on that, given the dangers here. We had four prison guards, correction officers, and two prison nurses become sickened at the Butler County Prison on Tuesday. Fortunately, they're all fine. They were all taken to Butler Memorial Hospital, treated, later released, and they're all back on the job as of today. So no serious harm done, thank goodness. But it could have been serious. Could have been very, very serious. So look for some of the safeguards to be strengthened a bit. And what do they do? I don't know. Search mail. I assume they already do that at least to some degree. Maybe more stringent search. Or a more stringent search of visitors coming to the jail. We've all seen that in the movies, right? Where when he comes to visit, they try to sneak something in a book or a food item or something like that. But really, something to be concerned about. And if it's not the K2, you know, I've heard of first responders being sickened by fentanyl when they're dealing with a person who is overdosed on it. Not always, but in some cases. So they have to be very, very careful and wearing the gloves and in some cases the mask. I did not realize that this could happen with synthetic marijuana. And what do you do with that anyway? Synthetic marijuana. I mean, do you smoke it? You can't smoke in jail. It used to be you could, but almost all prisons have now outlawed smoking. So I don't know. Do you eat it? I have no idea. You certainly don't have access to syringes or anything like that, so you couldn't inject it. Maybe you eat it or put it under your tongue or something, like a lozenge. I have no idea. As I said, I just found out about it recently. Synthetic marijuana. K2. Don't know where that name comes from either. Pretty hard to stay up to date on all the drugs, huh? All the illegal drugs. Yeah, first it was cocaine, crack cocaine, heroin now, of course, opioids, the big thing. But marijuana is not an opioid. It's a different drug altogether. 283-2525 is our number. Are you concerned about privacy in today's technology? I am. I am. You know, we're being watched all the time. Security cameras all over the place. You go to the mall, security cameras. Maybe you don't notice them. But they're there. Next time you go to Walmart, take a look around outside. Man, there are security cameras everywhere. On the light poles, on the sides of the building. And this is good for catching bad guys or bad girls. But you just have the feeling that you're always being watched, you know. And then with cell phones, you know, they can track you. In some cases, even if your phone isn't turned on, they can find where you are or where you've been if you've got your phone with you. If you use a landline, the phone company stores metadata, a record of who you called and who called you. So that's retrievable as well. And then, of course, online, you know, they know everything about you online. It is, yeah, it's in kind of unnerving when you think about it. Unless you want to go totally off the grid and live out in the woods somewhere. Who knows? Today's day and age, they could probably track you there, too. Might have to live in a cave somewhere to be totally sure of your privacy. The world has changed a great deal, huh? A great deal. By the way, we have football tonight here on WISR. The Steelers playing preseason game number 2. They're in Green Bay to face the Packers tonight. I never get too excited about the pregame. Yeah, I catch a little bit of the game, maybe. Nice to listen to Bill Hillgrove, who calls the live play-by-play here on WISR. And he'll be in Green Bay tonight. We'll have the game for you. By the way, we have plenty of Steeler talk, Steeler warm-up, starting at 6 tonight. The kickoff is at 8 o'clock. That's getting into that range where a lot of us can't stay up for the entire game. Doesn't kick off until 8 o'clock. Well, last week was 7, wasn't it? Yeah, it was 7 o'clock. It makes a difference. For people who have to get up and go to work the next day. And so many of these preseason games, actually during the regular season too, they're on Thursday night now. So that means you've got 3 nights. If you want to stay up late and watch football, you've got to get up the next day and go to work. Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. Those are all school nights. Those are all work nights. I'm not a big fan of the nighttime football games. No. Well, anyway, the Steelers play tonight. You can hear the game here on WISR. Warm up at 6, kickoff at 8 for Steeler football tonight. And maybe we'll get a little bit more of an update on Ben Roethlisberger in concussion protocol. Steelers don't seem to be too worried about it, and the local sports media does not appear to be either. But boy, it was all over ESPN yesterday afternoon and last night on their sports shows, and every one of them, talking about Big Ben being in concussion protocol and how is this going to be the end of his career and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. But locally, it doesn't seem to be too serious a thing. And really, concussion protocol, that's what they do these days. Somebody takes a hit to the head, and they put them in the protocol to make sure they're okay. You don't put them right back in the ball game or right back into practice. Dangerous. Used to. Yep. Strap on your helmet and get back out there, buddy. Not anymore, which is a good thing. So let's hope that he's not seriously hurt. He wasn't scheduled to play tonight anyway. Usually Big Ben plays in the third preseason game, which would be next week against Tennessee. We'll see. Let's go to the phones. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Mularkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. Speaking of the Bombers, did you ever read that book, A Higher Call?
I have, yes. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? I think you ought to do a book review on next. And speaking of the Bombers, the B-25, it went down in the Mon.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I think they found that. That was taken out. I don't think it was ever lost. That was taken out the same night.
Well, there are reports on that. There are others who say it's still down in the mud somewhere. But, you know, they've gone in with that side-scan sonar and everything else. A couple of years ago, they had a mission
there
to try to
find it.
Well, who knows? Could have gone way downstream. It could be buried in the silt, you know, the muck at the bottom.
Yeah.
Not the biggest bomber. In fact, it was one of the smaller bombers, but still, a bomber is a big plane. B-25 was 2 engines, not 4.
Yeah.
But
I think you're going to have one down at the airport.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Supposed to be a B-25, and then 2 of the really big bombers, the huge
bomber. You ever climb in one of those?
I have not, no.
You have to do it. They'll let you, while it's on the ground, they have a little ladder, you can crawl up and just look. It just more like a tube. The 25, just like a tube. The reason why they I think there was 5 of them on the one that went down in one, and 3 of them, the tail broke off, and they were trapped in the tube.
Yeah, there was loss of life. I don't remember the exact details, but...
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Hey, thanks for the alert. I'd forgotten about that with the B-25 coming into Butler today. Yeah, that was the model that went down in the
climb up in the tube. It's okay. Like in a little tunnel.
Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, let's take a break, and we're scheduled to chat next on the program with Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, and we'll usher him into the studio and get him mic'd up and ready to go here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Bill May presents his free 60-minute slideshow and talk, The Biddle Boys, the escape, capture, and death of Butler County's most notorious outlaws in the carousel shelter of Butler County's Alameda Park this Thursday, August 16th at 6:30.
Hi, this is Bill May. Ed and Jack Biddle captured the attention of the entire nation in 1902 from Butler to San Francisco. The Biddles had killed a grocer and police detective in Pittsburgh and sat on death row in the Allegheny County Jail. Ed Biddle, the handsomest man most women had ever seen, seduced Kate Soffel, the warden's wife, who then aided the escape. Stealing a sleigh, they headed north towards Canada through the streets of Butler. Their escape would end in a gun-blazing shootout with police between Mount Chestnut and Prospect. I fill the hour with rare photos and never before heard tales of the Biddle Boys, Butler County's most notorious outlaws. Join me this Thursday night, August 16th at 6:30 p.m. in the carousel shelter of Butler County's Alameda Park. And it is free.
Welcome back, folks. We welcome Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of Butler County Community College. With us here in the studio today, Dr. Nick Neupower, welcome.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Jess Matnuck. She's the Executive Director of Communications and Marketing. Jess, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you. Good
you
to
too.
See you. Well, gosh, it's almost time for a new semester to start. Weren't we just talking about graduation a couple of days ago, back in May, and now the fall semester is just around the corner.
Yes, it is, and we are metal to the pedal. We're really working very, very hard to gear up. We've had a number of meetings, sharing different types of news, part-time faculty. We have our annual convocation coming up. We had administrative sharing days recently where we have all of the different administrators on our campus talking about what goes on in their areas. That's actually a very interesting couple days just to hear at the micro level as to what's going on and gearing up for the start of a semester. Jess is hard at work working with our student affairs team and admissions to get even more students coming through the door. So it's a busy time of year.
First day of class for the fall semester is a week from Monday, right?
It is. August 27th is the first day of the semester.
It's not this coming Monday, but it's the week after. So it's about a week and a half away.
It is. The start of the semester, but I know we've talked about before that we have late start classes, sessions, and fast tracks, five-week online fast tracks that start throughout the semester. Mm-hmm. But a majority of the classes start in about a week and a half on the 27th.
And it's not as if the college is shut down over the summer. You have summer sessions, and there's a lot of people there. So,
yeah, kids on campus, our summer enrollment ended up at a pretty good number. We have the multiple sessions. We've had, my goodness, a ton of deferred maintenance projects, including paving, blacktopping on our campus. We've been busy with that. And, there's been a lot of activity on our campus, all of our campuses.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned college convocation. You do that every year at the start of a new year, right?
Yeah, that kicks off the formal academic calendar, and I give my State of the College address. We will be going over an update of our strategic plan. a lot dealing with our deferred maintenance, our capital projects, the planning for the Victor K. Phillips Nursing and Allied Health Building. You know, we're starting that process. It is a bit of a rite of passage. I know we talk about that with a lot of with some things that we do at the college. And it does set a very positive tone for the upcoming academic year.
And that's a week from today that you'll be holding that.
It is,
now,
yeah.
All faculty and administrators attend that, is that right?
Yeah, faculty, staff, administrators. We do keep some key offices open, but it is to the entire college community.
Mm-hmm. I would think that most people are familiar with the campus, having been there, if not for class, for one of the many events that are scheduled there. A lot of groups use Suck Up Theater, Musical Theater Guild, and so on and so forth. But you do have a welcome day for students who are brand new to kind of show them around, right, Jess?
Right, yeah. So our new student welcome day is the Friday before classes start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really an opportunity for new students to get oriented, not just with their way around campus, but what different resources and services are available to them, ways that they can get involved. That will ensure, ultimately, their success as a student.
And you want to make sure they know where the buildings are. Campus gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it does.
Used to be there were four buildings,
right.
not anymore.
That's correct.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah, this is a chance for them to kind of get their schedule and walk around, find their classroom. So on that first day of classes, their anxiety is reduced just a little because they know where they're headed.
That's a really good point. So in reviewing the literature, we've said this before. We have more first-generation college students on our campus than any other. And their first impression, they're a blank slate to our college campus. And that first impression, in some cases, can make or break a student. Maybe a student feels so overwhelmed. So there's a lot of thought and actually research that goes into it, and we do want to reduce that level of anxiety. Was thinking here that I can recall my first day, my orientation at Penn State Beaver, and then my orientation and first day at University Park. And boy, that's a lot of years ago, but if that was that significant of an event, and by going from high school to college or a small branch campus to a large Research One institution. And I know that Dr. Willoughby and others at the college, including Dr. Richardson, our provost, analyzed the literature, and it is a very well-thought-out day.
Yeah, I was not naive at that age, but it was a big change.
Oh, my goodness,
you know, first day you're there, you know, you're looking around, gawking around in some cases, and it's nice to be a little bit more familiar before you have to take out the notebook and, you know, start class. And by the way, college classes, you better be ready with that notebook at the start.
Oh,
boy, there's no messing around. There's no 2 or 3 days of, you know, okay, handshakes, let's get to know each other. And you got a syllabus and you're ready to go to work, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Jump right into it. And it's not just the going to classes, when your classes are, where they are, who your instructors are, but, you know, where do I park, getting the textbooks, getting their student ID, learning, you know, where they can access information like the student handbook, the code of conduct, what's expected of them as a student, you know, as part of the campus community. So it's pretty extensive.
And just imagine what Jess said. And remember, we have, I'm ballparking, about 1,000 students a semester who take online classes. So everything that Jess just said is presented in an online format. So when we analyze the students who take online classes, it's a mix and a match between traditional and online. Mm-hmm. So what students are going through face-to-face, they're also going through with that online orientation as well.
Do you have many new faculty members this year?
Yes, and I'll be presenting that at Convocation and in Administrative Sharing Days. I shared a lot of moves that we've had at the college, and we have several new faculty positions at the college, a number of which are going to our all-in approach for nursing and allied health, you know, full-time faculty at Brockway, faculty on our main campus that is prepping for the Phillips Nursing and Allied Health Building. Of course, we now have the Schaefer School of Nursing, which also reinforces our all-in approach for nursing and allied health. We have a couple of new allied health instructors. So, yes, we have several new faculty.
By the way, that new facility for the nursing department, that's still a ways off. I mean, you're...
Yes, so we're estimating a couple of years on the short side, 3 years in the big picture. I know that Janice, Mrs. Larrick, is very anxious, as was Mr. Heaton, as was Mr. Wise, to get the project going. But she understands the application process to the state to get the matching funds. We have on the docket for this semester to finalize our architect. It's a long process, but I've certainly given her my word on behalf of the college that we're moving this as quickly as possible. And as you might expect, both Janice and Senator Schaefer, they're just outstanding people and are very understanding.
You mentioned that during the summer there's been some paving work on roads through the campus. That's like capital projects, right, as opposed to other general expenditures. Is there some state help for that?
Yeah, so it's a good question. It's capital deferred maintenance projects. So there is a category in which we can apply for cash to the, and that's the term that's used, cash to the state, and the college needs to match that money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have a capital reserve. So we received $400,000 from the state to help with that paving. And the college had $400,000 that it needed to put in from its capital reserve. So those are generally projects where we're made aware basically just about 2 or 3 months before they're actually start to begin. And we have to complete them, I think, within 120 days. So we have been hard at it. And campus really does look very much improved with that type of deferred maintenance project.
Paving is expensive, but that's quite a sum, so you're probably able to do quite a bit of it, huh?
Yes.
We're talking with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower. You attended an annual retreat that's held each year for the presidents of all the community colleges?
Yeah, so this would have been my 12th one. And so when people hear retreat, you might think of very expensive place. What we do is among the 14 community colleges is that we will rotate and we host. I think it was my second year when I was president, we hosted the community college presidents. And
so you're not going to the Greenbrier
in
West Virginia or someplace ritzy like that?
We traveled to Bucks, which I'll tell you, boy, that's an interesting county. Very interesting county. My geography's not all that great. I guess I didn't realize just how close. I knew it was close to Philadelphia, but really how close to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very interesting county. Lots and lots of old buildings. Bucks County Community College was on an estate, and the person's name has escaped me right now. But when the husband and the wife passed away, and this coincides with when community college started in the Commonwealth, is that I believe that the acreage went to the county, and the county carved out a couple of hundred acres to start this community college in 65. Another 300 or so acres ended up for some type of a state park. So it's a good opportunity because we're all so different. You have Philadelphia, you have CCAC, Pittsburgh, you have as small as Pennsylvania Highlands and Johnstown and Community College at Beaver County. And then you have an institution like Bucks.
That's the biggest one, right?
Actually, Harrisburg is the biggest thing.
Oh, wow.
Harrisburg has surpassed Philadelphia and CCAC. And I say that's on the credit side. But Jess knows this. The number that we like to discuss is our overall enrollment at Butler County Community College. And when we have about 5,000 or so credit students in a year, that includes summer, and you throw in, depending upon the year, are up to 20,000 non-credit lifelong learning, emergency services, workforce development students. We're an institution of 25,000. There are other institutions where maybe their enrollment is mostly in the credit side, and they have very little on the non-credit continuing ed workforce side. But the largest community college in terms of credit and enrollment is now Harrisburg. And Harrisburg has adopted a philosophy like ours. They're not just in Harrisburg. They have a number of off-campus locations in different counties. So it gives us as presidents an opportunity to see the other campuses. Remember, we are a sector, not a system. We do not have a chancellor like PASHE, the state system of higher ed, does. So we are under the Pennsylvania Commission for Community Colleges, but we have to come together with common language when we are lobbying, when we are putting forward operating asks, capital asks, and we spend a lot of time on those during those 2 days talking about those types of things.
Now, the state system schools, Slippery Rock, IUP, Clarion, Edinburgh, Cal, the rest of them, they have one tuition rate, right? That's set by the PASHE board, or at least that's been the case.
That has been the case, but I believe in these unique, in this unique period, just this year, that they've been given some flexibility.
Now, the community colleges have always had flexibility to set their own tuition rates.
That's correct, and there are different reasons for why some might have a higher higher tuition than others. As an example, again, the funding model is county support, state support, and tuition. And when we were founded, theoretically, it's 33% for each of those three legs.
Mm-hmm.
Westmoreland gets about 3 or 4% of its operating funds from its local sponsor, the county.
That's all.
That's
wow.
it.
Wow.
Allegheny gets maybe about 24-25%. We get about 13 or 14%. So there are a lot of variables that come into play that could force an institution to have a higher tuition than others. We benchmark. We want to be in the lowest, I believe, lowest third or lowest quarter in terms of affordability. And I believe that we have the third or fourth lowest tuition in the Commonwealth. We're very proud of that.
Yeah, there was a small tuition hike starting this coming semester at PC3. Really not very much.
Yeah, I think we actually do per dollar, $5 per credit. But for a Butler County resident, because I need to point out the support that we get from our county commissioners, my goodness, for an academic year, you are under $4,000 for an academic year.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Butler County residents, because that's the home base, they get a lower rate. If you live out of county, you pay more.
You pay a higher rate because we do not have that local county support. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So your retreat was held at the Bucks County Community College they hosted this year.
Yes, and it's a good time to get together with colleagues. We learn from one another, federal issues, accreditation issues. What's unique is that we come together to lobby with one voice, but we're 14 very different institutions. And that is a challenge. I'm speaking from a president's perspective of a community college. I like the fact that we have a locally appointed board and that our connection to Harrisburg is through an association. It's not a board of governors, a board of regents, with the chancellor, et cetera. It doesn't mean that that model doesn't work. It's just from my perspective, and I think this is the sweet spot for community colleges and specifically for BC3. It's about our impact locally. I think it allows us to be more nimble, to respond to local needs. Then when we come together from a state perspective, it's wrapping up everything that we do locally to make our presence known in Harrisburg. This is the impact that we have locally, and to connect that to the larger macro view in Harrisburg to see how we as 14 are moving the needle for the Commonwealth.
The state legislature and the governor were able to agree on a budget, mirabile dictu, by the deadline this year, by June 30th. So how did the community colleges fare in terms of state appropriation?
Yes, community colleges did receive an increase of approximately 3%. Our increase for Butler was at 2.7%, so that meant an additional $220,000 from the Commonwealth. I think this is only the second increase in operating funds that we've received in the last several years from the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. There was a year where there was a significant cut in the Corbett administration. But we are very appreciative of that. We also have the opportunity at Butler to move forward with our BC3 at Brockway initiative. And for that particular initiative where we've expanded our nursing program, we received an additional $300,000 from the Commonwealth. Now, that's a separate line item that goes specifically to Brockway. But it was a good year as it relates to the state for community colleges and specifically BC3.
At Brockway, have you had to try to convert more space? Because that's grown pretty rapidly up there.
Yes, we did. We just expanded, I would say, by several thousand square feet.
We're offering a new program there now, nursing.
You didn't build that location from scratch. It was converted. Wasn't it a former factory, a glass plant or something?
Yeah, corporate headquarters for Owens Brockway.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, a gentleman, Peter Verischetti, great vision. It's remarkable to see that hub. It is everything from a senior living facility, doctors, PTA, beauticians. Manchester Bidwell has a branch there. And we originally started with about 12,000 or so square feet, and I think that we're at about 20,000 square feet, give or take some. We lease the facility. It's a special line item that we get to the state, a regional community college line item, and we're elated that we've brought our nursing program there, and the numbers at that location have skyrocketed because of that, and students are in pre-nursing, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of career opportunities, at least in the near-term future, for nurses.
Yes.
And a lot of nursing shortages, so a lot of people are going into that. That's great.
Yes.
It's great to see buildings renovated and reconverted instead of torn down, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, and I would say for college and university presidents as a whole, there are less bodies, okay? You know what we've talked about with the demographics,
mm-hmm.
high school graduation rates, what have you, and all of a sudden you have the emergence of online also. So do you need the same bricks and mortar? Can you repurpose the existing bricks and mortar? We frankly think after the Phillips Nursing and Allied Health Building, I'm not quite sure we're going to be building any more buildings on our campus. Remember, we have the location downtown. We'll probably talk about that later in the mm-hmm. show. Again, so much of what used to be bricks and mortar, you can now do online. I agree with you. It is very nice to convert space. It is nice not to necessarily tear down space, but is making sure that you have the appropriate programming that belongs in that space. And as we're heading into 2020, that's probably the biggest challenge. You know, what is the purpose of this space? We had an interesting hour-and-a-half conference call this morning. We're looking into the University of Pittsburgh at Titusville and a possible partnership in Titusville with Pitt, and basically the repurposing of that space to correlate more to a 21st century needs. And it's a challenge for colleges and universities in general, but I think that under the direction of Brian Opitz with great advice from our Board of Trustees, we've done it well.
It's pretty amazing to think about where college education might be going 10, 20 years down the road, because it seems like the whole world is going toward more of a digital footprint. You know, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette announced actually a couple of months ago that they were going to cease putting out a printed edition 2 days a week. Now they've just announced this week what days are going to be eliminated. They're not going to print a paper on Saturday anymore, nor on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to read the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on those 2 days, you're going to have to do it online. And obviously, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
They're going to be eliminating their printed edition altogether. So that'll take some adjustment for those of us who have long looked for a morning paper to go with our cup of coffee. I'm one of them. It's not quite the same with a cup of coffee and a laptop or a cell phone, but that's what we're going to. And for those of you in education, you've got to look toward that. Jess, you know as much as anyone at the college how today's students rely on the internet and their cell phones and their screens. It's already a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think our students are taking some classes online, some classes in the classroom. We offer classes fully online in the classroom, but also hybrid offerings. So a portion of it is online, or a majority of it is online, and then they'll come to campus for only a few sessions. So, you know, it's going along with the technology and the development, but also just the lifestyle of our students now. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to be able to fit things in around their schedule. They want flexible options, and online is just another option.
I know some of us baby boomers wonder about whether there'll be motivation to work as hard, to study as hard online as opposed to being actually, you know, in front of an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
From what I hear, there's no worry about that, at least on the part of the majority of students. You know, they want to learn. They're not going to slack off just because there's not physically an instructor right in front of them.
Well, you said something interesting a moment ago. And I'm the same way, particularly your Saturday morning paper during high school football season.
Yeah.
You get your cup of coffee and you go to the Post-Gazette to look at the scores and leading rushers. And you mentioned that it might be a little bit awkward, clumsy to do that with a cup of coffee and a laptop. That's showing our age, you know, for Gen Z, I believe they're called Centennials now, and the Millennials before them, that is the norm. These are generations they don't know what alone time is. They are always connected. So I don't know that will be all that unusual for them. But I will say, this goes back to the late, great Dick Riddleman and the late, great Jessica Forsythe also. 10, 12 years ago, earlier in my presidency, we were talking about the need for bricks and mortar and online. And I will tell you, there's still something special, particularly on our main campus, that gives these students a sense of place. And that has been part of the larger facilities master plan strategy. Steve Joseph, our wonderful, he used to be dean of the Heaton, now he's dean of Humanities Social Sciences. In his speech during the opening of the Heaton, he talked about all these interactions. Interactions, interestingly, that involve technology, but also those personal interactions. And if you walk into the Heaton during the academic year, and you'll see students sitting in every nook and cranny, not a seat to be had, and you will see them utilizing their technology, you will still be able, in a qualitative capacity, to see the importance of that sense of place and what happens whenever you mix all of them together. That's what we have in the Heaton. That's what we will have in the Phillips building. It's a nice blend and a combination of each.
Yeah, and that was great foresight. By the way, the two names that President Neupower mentioned, the late Dick Riddleman and the late Jen Forsythe, they were both architects, mm-hmm. well-known architects in our area, and they were both members of the Board of Trustees.
That's correct, yes.
We missed them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll continue our conversation here in just a moment. Program note, don't forget we have Steeler football tonight here on WISR. Bill Hillgrove will slide in behind the microphone again to call the Steelers and the Packers preseason game tonight here on WISR. We'll have 2 hours of Steeler talk to get you all warmed up starting at 6. The kickoff is 8 o'clock tonight from Lambeau Field and right here on WISR. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Jody Weaver, and I serve our members as board president for Central Electric Cooperative. Central Electric is a cooperative owned and governed by members. If you are a member, your voice counts. This year, vote for your Armstrong and Butler County directors by mail or online. Or better yet, vote at our annual meeting August 24th at Whitehall Campgrounds near Hamilton. After you vote, join members, directors, and staff with a great chicken dinner, music by Keep Off the Grass, great door prizes, exhibits, and more. If you have children or grandchildren, bring them for the fun as well. Reserve your spot today by calling Central Electric or visiting the website at www.central.coop. This is Jody Weaver for Central Electric Cooperative. Our tradition is to service, our responsibility is to safety. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back, folks. Nice to be with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. We're gearing up to the start of another school year. Dr. Nick Neupower is here, president of Butler County Community College. Well, within the past couple of weeks, at any rate, I had the pleasure of meeting for the first time the new president of Slippery Rock University, Dr. William Barry. He was here for a nice sit-down chat. Have you had a chance to meet with him yet?
Yes, thanks, Dave. I did, as a matter of fact, and an old friend, well-known in Butler County, Bill McCarrier, former county commissioner, a couple of different terms, on our board at the college for a number of years. He's now the board chair at Slippery Rock University. So, Bill... And I said this to President Barry, much like he did when I became president. Bill took him around different spots in Butler County, and we ended a particular day with probably about a 90-minute meeting with Commissioner McCarrier as well as President Barry, and it was really an awesome meeting. We seemed to connect right out of the gates, mentioned that we are one of two counties in the Commonwealth that share a state system university and a community college. The other is Delaware, I believe, with part of Westchester and also Cheney. So we're very unique along those lines. He had mentioned that he worked in New Jersey prior to coming here, and he had a great working relationship with the community college there. Also mentioned to President Barry that we're a bit unusual as a community college. Students will come to us and transfer at a larger rate, higher percentage than most other nationally. And, of course, our number one transfer institution is and probably will remain Slippery Rock University. Mentioned that my family and I, we reside in Slippery Rock Borough. So as a borough resident, we look forward to working with the president of Slippery Rock University in kind of a town and gown type relationship. It was a really good meeting. Look forward to further collaboration, not only on a personal level with the president, but between the institutions.
Well, we were anxious to introduce him to our listeners. Most folks had not met him. I had not either. Shook hands with him when he came into the studio here. First impressions are important, and I was impressed. You meet a lot of new people. You can tell sometimes within a minute or two, have you established a rapport? And I did very easily with him.
Yes, I'll add some insight to this. So nonverbals, kind of talking over one another. There was none of that. I mean, all the nonverbals were very positive. Of course, he was respectful to Commissioner McCarrier. And what's very strange here is, so I'm the old guy on the block, not just for community colleges, but of all 32. That 12 years that I've been in is the longest. And not that he had to, but certainly I think he would be, when you count the interims, Bob Smith interim, Cheryl interim, he's the fifth president. Maybe even the sixth, because I think the other president, Smith, G. Warren, was in office maybe when I first took over. So, heck, that's six presidents of Slippery Rock.
while you've been president.
While I've been president. So, he's just a charming fella, and we talked a little bit about our families, and really looking forward to getting to know him more.
So, moving on to another topic, and we discussed this a couple of times back in the late winter and the early spring, that Butler County Community College was definitely interested in having a presence in downtown Butler on Main Street, and now you do.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, this really made the news. A lot of positive news, and part of our strategic plan is emphasizing a town and gown relationship that we have with the city of Butler. What I've been mentioning over the last 3 days at all these different speaking engagements is that we believe in our role in social justice, whether it be food insecurity, opiate initiative, and that's not by any stretch saying that we're flying in with the Superman cape and rescuing a downtown or any group. We feel that we can bring appropriate partnerships, collaboration. We could provide convener space. We could go forward with different educational offerings. We wanted to find just the right partner. We did that with Mike Robb and Community Center for Resources and Alliance for Nonprofit Resources. We have a location that is front and center in the downtown area. Our coordinator of leadership initiatives, Tracy Hack, just moved there literally within the past week or so. It's that baby step. It's that small footprint. We are looking to expand our program offerings. We are looking to expand our volunteer efforts in the city. And we even talked about it this morning. We're hoping this time next year that we will have perhaps between 10 and 20 students, BC3 students, who will be living in downtown Butler. That could not only help from a workforce capacity, intern, part-time job capacity, but could also volunteer their time to help beautify or help the many organizations in downtown.
Now, the downtown presence, you're leasing space in an already existing building. Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah, and what's best in this relationship is that it is 6 months. We're not leasing anything at this point. It's based on that synergy and that partnership. We provide training. We provide space for ANR and CCR on our campus. Reciprocity, they do the same for us. It's not just a small office space. They have a lot of office space downtown. And we could offer credit offerings, non-credit offerings. And frankly, we've done so in different locations in the downtown area. Now, it was a correct statement, is that big picture, this will probably work its way into a lease. But at least for, I believe, the first 6 months, we're going to see how this reciprocity works. And if it continues where they're utilizing some of our space on main campus, perhaps this will extend beyond the 6 months. As you know, they have a very forward-thinking leader in Mike Robb, who is blessed with a very good board, just like I am at the college. So far, so good.
If anyone doesn't know where that location is, yeah, we will have signage that will be put up, I think, in the next month.
Correct.
And it's right next to where Rite Aid is, mm-hmm, right down from that. Mm-hmm. That's where they're located.
200 block, I think, of South Main.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I believe there's the ANR sign that's already outside of the building, mm-hmm, and we will have the BC3 sign. That's important also. That's symbolic. I think it's incredibly important that be there. You know, what we're hoping for is that, and we've studied a lot of these models, seeing more students not only taking classes there, working there, but perhaps living there, frequenting the coffee shops, the businesses, and again, getting some help in these businesses to help in a part-time or an intern capacity.
I think you mentioned to me some months ago, Dr. Neupower, that you've seen this successfully occur in some other college towns, right?
Yes. Altoona would be a great example. Altoona's a Rust Belt city, much like Butler is. And it was the partnership with Penn State Altoona. Now, Penn State Altoona needed space. I don't know if you've been to Altoona and its campus. Very similar to Butler. Sits on a hill. It had some meaning to Blair County and Altoona many years ago as a swimming area, and there's still the beautiful pond. But Altoona needed to expand, and they needed space. And they worked with the appropriate players in Altoona, Blair County, the Sheets family. And what Altoona did really well was took buildings that had significance in its history. So as an example, the old radio station now houses the communication department of Penn State Altoona. The previous theater now houses the dance studio and the performing arts. So as you know, in Western PA, we like falling back on that history, and Penn State Altoona was very creative and purposeful in matching 21st century programs from the academy to what the history used to be. We've studied Lorain County in Ohio also, and community colleges really are a driver of economic development, and we're excited where we are at this point with our downtown initiative.
Well, Butler County Community College is certainly a driver of the local economy. I think most folks would know that just, you know, from common sense. But we now have some quantitative numbers on that, right?
Right.
Right, Jess? Do you have those figures?
Yeah, we had an economic impact analysis done. And President Neupower was speaking earlier about, you know, our impact locally when he comes together with the presidents and then, you know, coming together and what how it affects the state. Mm-hmm. It starts with that impact locally.
Mm-hmm.
And this really was showing that. Just how significantly the college impacts our local community. We generated $147.5 million in added income to Butler County's economy in the 16-17 fiscal year.
$148 million, that's almost $150 million. That's not chump change.
Yeah. So we think the governmental dollars that we receive, it is a great investment.
I want to talk a little bit about the Cranberry location, renovation work underway there. Gosh, I forget. I read the news story about it. Part of it's underway and part of it's still to come. Am I remembering that correctly?
Correct. So it started at the end of June. A portion of it will be completed for the start of the fall semester. And then the second portion a little later in the semester, but classes are still running there. We still have that location fully operating during that time.
I haven't been to that location of BC3 in years and years. Still at the same place, right?
It's our oldest location.
Yes, it is. 88, so our oldest off-campus location. And my goodness, I think that might have been at the beginning of the Price era. Dr. President Price wasn't around all that long, but he did have an interesting vision, which was to expand beyond Butler County. Mm-hmm. And although that was in Butler County, it was the first expansion that we had away from the Oak Hill. It is something that the college owns that property. So the state originally put in some money, and that's all been, you think about it, 88, that's 30 years. So whatever the financing was that is owned by the college, we've done some refurbishment over the years, but this is another example of state funding where the college received state funding and then we had to match. So it'll be about roughly a $1.2 million refurbish and remodel, and use the Heaton Family Learning Commons as an example. We wanted to have that 21st century kind of high-tech feel. Actually, Ruth Purcell is talking to some individuals perhaps about naming not only the building, but perhaps the lobby area. It's so between Cranberry, Newcastle, Sharon, Ford City, and Brockway, it's very different demographic. And you can imagine the demographic that you're getting in the Cranberry, the Mars, the Seneca Valley. That's not saying at all that there's one that is better than the other, but there are different needs based on the demographic. And we want this not only from a credit side to have that high-tech feel, but we want it to be able to be utilized for a lot of workforce training for the businesses in that particular area. So we will phase the project. We did that with the Heaton. That takes a lot of planning and organizational skills. So rather than the temporary trailer classrooms, literally we work on one half of the building, and then students are in the other half, and then when that half is done, we go to the other half. We're working on the labs right now. It's essential that we get the labs up and running by the start of the academic year. Brian Opitz, our Executive Director of Operations, gave us a very good update. and a lot of challenges, but we will be up and running by the start of this semester.
For folks who aren't familiar with the Cranberry location, I think the address is Executive Drive, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
But, you know, who knows where that is if you don't, you don't live there. Everybody knows where the Barnes & Noble store is in Cranberry. It's kind of like right back over the hill from there.
Yes.
You can't get there that way. You have to kind of go around, but that's where it's located. And it is a nice facility. I'll be anxious to see it when the renovation is all completed.
There'll be laptop bars and study rooms with glass walls and labs. Oh, that'll
be quite different than
the last time I was there. It'll be a very modern look to it, yes.
Yeah. Well, obviously, that's here to stay. Hey, these off-campus, off-main campus locations are going very well.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they're all showing really nice student census, student populations, despite the constantly decreasing number of college-age people. Families have not been as large as they once were, and there's look at the decreasing numbers in our area high schools. Almost every school district population go down.
And I was reminded of this, and Dave, you probably know this, and it's the old cliche. When the economy is strong, community colleges lose enrollment. When the economy dips, we gain enrollment. And it's a strong economy right now. So you throw that variable in addition to what it is that you're saying, and we mention it over and over, whether it be the SRUs of the world, the Grove Cities, Westminster's, or the BC3s, it's a very unique time right now.
Dr. Barry talked about that at Slippery Rock because they've seen record enrollments for 2 or 3 years in a row. He says that's probably not going to happen from now on because of the reasons that you just mentioned, but it will remain strong. We need to take a break, so let's do that, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more with our guests. By the way, program note coming up tomorrow, tariffs have been in the news, right? Yeah, the Trump administration has imposed tariffs on a bunch of countries, perhaps most controversially Canada, but China, European Union. So what do you know about tariffs? Well, we'll talk about that, or rather our lead-off guest tomorrow will. His name is David Pietruzza. He's written a number of papers on it. We first met him, gosh, a couple of years ago. He's a historian. He was talking about the upset victory of Harry Truman in the 1948 presidential election. Remember that one? That was Thomas Dewey and Harry Truman, and everybody thought Thomas Dewey was going to win, including the Chicago Tribune, who famously printed a big front-page story, Dewey beats Truman. And everybody's seen the picture where Truman's holding that up, and of course it was the other way around. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Also with us tomorrow, State Representative Brian Ellis and Steve Monteleone. He's the founder of the It's About the Warrior Foundation. So that's on tomorrow's program. We'll be back with more today right after this.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 9999. The pick three, 566, 566. The pick four, 0219. The pick five, 49832. The wild ball for each of those is 9. The treasure hunt, 17, 19, 21, 25, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $46,000.
Prepare for the harvest at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. Preserve your bounty with water bath canners, jelly makers, crocks, cabbage shredders, Mrs. Wage's pickle and salsa mixes, and more. Stock up on fall planting supplies like onions, deer plots, and tree spikes. Pick up shelled corn, ear corn, deer feed, and salt blocks. Grab some blue poly tarps to cover your firewood, hay, lawnmowers, and more. Try Taro fruit fly traps and KT rabbit treats. Plus, you can check out the new squirrel springs to protect bird feeders on shepherd's hooks. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus,
we're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. No worrying about traffic or expensive parking fees. Free Wi-Fi is also available. Park at a convenient park and ride or hop on the bus at the downtown bus terminal. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus,
we're going your way.
had a graduation ceremony recently. No, it wasn't the regular graduation at Butler County Community College. It was a special one, but a very important one. And that was the Adult Literacy Program. Honored quite a few students who were able to complete their high school education requirement.
GED, correct.
GED. I was trying to think of the terminology.
High school equivalency.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you. And I thought it was pretty nice that they actually had a graduation ceremony. Suck up theater, you know, the whole thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
185 students in Butler and Mercer counties.
185?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was quite that many.
That's how many are enrolled in the program. Mm-hmm. And then this year, 49, or just this past ceremony, recognized 49 that received their diplomas. So we have students moving through the program, receiving their diplomas, and we celebrate them just as we do our grads that receive their associate degree and certificate.
As we should. Pretty hard to get anywhere these days without at least a high school diploma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes more. That took place a little bit earlier this month. We had a story within the past couple of weeks. I forget the exact number, but I think it was like almost 50 new course offerings available in the lifelong learning program at BC Theater. And there's always been a lot of course offerings. There's always a brochure published. This year's it's like 22 pages of course offerings. But a lot of new ones this year, Jess.
Oh, yeah. In Butler and Cranberry, and also at our Lawrence and Mercer locations, as well as other locations within those counties, we offer lifelong learning classes.
Now, these are non-credit courses.
Yes, these are non-credit.
Open to the public.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many of them are in the evening.
Yes.
Not all, but many are in the evening.
Yes, and there are computers and technology, there are cooking classes, culinary arts, a lot of art classes, our yoga classes are very popular. There are some personal development type of classes, special interests, like woodworking and gardening. Mm-hmm. There's a floral academy this year.
Yeah, that's one of the new ones for people who love to, you know, work with flowers and plants and everything.
Right. So we're really excited to kick off all those classes. And we even offer some classes in Brockway and as well. So.
Do those start generally a little later than the credit classes, which will be kicking off in another week and a half?
Well, they start throughout the semester.
So oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the courses, you know, are five or six different sessions. Some of them are just one session, you know, a couple hours in the evening or maybe on a Saturday all day. So really, we have lifelong learning classes starting new ones every week.
Yeah. I got my brochure in the mail. I'm assuming that thousands of these went out.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't have one, I'm sure you could call and get it, or it's probably online, too.
Absolutely. bc3.edu/lifelong learning. You can get the full schedules on our website.
Hey, these are great things. I've done this a number of times. Not only do you learn, but you meet new people and, you know, get out of the house. It's nice.
It shows the diversity of being the community's college, both of those examples, whether it be adult literacy, GED graduation, these lifelong learning classes. We do not put all of our eggs in the traditional 18 to 22-year-old undergraduate basket. It is a diverse offering that we have, not only in Butler County, but also the surrounding counties. And again, these lifelong learning classes shows that diversity, a lot of really interesting types of courses that I think will attract a large audience.
And they're offered in different locations within the community, too, not just at our on our campus or in our locations. Like, we have some classes running at Brushes and Barstools on Main Street this semester. Mm-hmm. They're offered at Mars High School for the Cranberries classes and so on. So.
The Butler County Community College Education Foundation had a successful golf outing. What's the Education Foundation anyway, Dr. Neupauw?
So BC3 Education Foundation is the entity, and an excellent executive director, Ruth Purcell, along with her foundation board, that raises money as a 501c3 that to benefit the college. And that is student scholarships, that could be equipment, and it is a completely separate board. And I have said just recently I think in this area, second to none. As you know, we've had some very big donations, four separate million-dollar mm-hmm. gifts in just under a three-year period. This golf outing has been successful. I believe this is over 20 years, and this helps us with unrestricted funds for the foundation. And I'm so proud of what our foundation has done. And again, I would put our foundation up against not only nearby Publix, but also some of the private institutions. And it shows that individuals really believe in the college. They believe in our vision. They want to support our students. And it was another, the weather was kind of interesting. It rained for about an hour or so, then that hot humidity, but it was a great day.
Mm-hmm. Foundations also, as I understand it, if the need be, they can borrow funds for projects separate from school. I think there are some schools that have done that in the past.
Yeah, that is correct. And our foundation actually owns our BC3 at Linden Point bricks and mortar. So that is an interesting model. We've been very creative and aggressive with our foundation. Although we haven't done what it is that you had mentioned, it is a very successful organization that complements our college quite well.
The start of the fall semester is just around the corner. That will mean a new season of performing arts at the Suckup Theater Cultural Center. And there is a kickoff concert for that coming up within the next few, I guess the next week or so, Jess.
Right. So the Performing Arts Series, the first one actually doesn't start until the end of September. So this is a little preclude mm-hmm. To kicking off the Performing Arts Series. But the Pittsburgh Philharmonic is going to perform a free concert. That's on August 26th at 2 p.m. It'll be in the Suckup Theater. It's sponsored by Thompson Miller Funeral Home. And at the end of the concert, in the lobby, there will be free ice cream for all of the attendees to enjoy. So it should be a nice event.
And that's a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be a week from this coming Sunday.
It is, the day before classes start.
Yeah. Oh, the day before classes start. Yeah.
And I think, without looking at the schedule, that the Steelers have another Thursday night exhibition game, so there wouldn't be a conflict there either.
Play a lot of Thursday night football these. Yeah. It's in my personal opinion, they're in danger of killing the goose that lays the golden egg.
Yeah.
You know, we have football now on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's almost every day of the week.
Yes, it is.
Could be overexposed. Well, listen, I know that you folks, everybody on campus is busy humming, getting ready for the new semester. It's not like, though, you got to dust off the desks and sweep the hallways, because the college has been open during the summer with a lot of summer courses, and they had the Kids on Campus program as well. So it's not like you're, opening up the doors and blowing out the dust, but it'll certainly be a lot busier in another week and a half than it has been.
Yeah, and there's that vibrancy of the students coming back and wonderful conversations with our faculty. And that is a great part of our job, is that nervous anxiety for the beginning freshman student, but then the excitement. And you get to do it every year. And the start to a fall semester is a very special time. And you can see the anxiety in some of the students' faces. But that's something that we don't take for granted, and we know that it'll be another great academic year.
I was always excited about that when I was that
age.
Yeah. I'd like to get back to school.
And I think it's the most beautiful time on our campus as well,
in my opinion.
Yeah, it's still green, and the campus looks great.
Yes.
Our maintenance and operations staff does an amazing job getting the campus looking well for the semester. And because of the paving projects, there's a lot of things that are looking new.
Be a smooth ride.
Yes, it will.
Won't be long. We thank our guests, the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower. We said earlier, we chatted a week or so ago with the new president at Slippery Rock, Dr. William Barry. Next week, among our guests, will be Dr. Brian White, who's the superintendent of schools in the Butler Area School District, because our public and private schools are getting ready to gear up, too. School bells will be ringing there. Also, we thank Jess Matnuck, Executive Director of Communications and Marketing. Good to see you both.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our It's Your Turn program for this Thursday. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you 12:30 tomorrow for the Friday edition here on It's Your Turn on WISR.
Have coffee with Kate and Dave Malarkey weekday mornings after the 8 a.m. news on WISR 680 a.m.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by TheraWorks Relief.
I'm Pam Coulter. Rolling Stone put her at the top of the list of the greatest singers of all time, men or women.